I think that he, as I say, I think he knew where he wanted to take Chem Abstracts, and he was going to see that they got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both Dale Baker and certainly my talking with Dr. Medinomsky.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Would give him central credit.
Yes.
It still surprises me how long it took them, and essentially you're talking about two or three different NSF grants before automation is well developed.
Yes, yes. I'm inclined to compare that with what you read about the IRS.
Hmm.
You know, still doesn't have a good computer system. And other government agencies that you know have put money into developing, and they have to be able to take some programs off the shelf and so forth, and yet they still haven't solved their problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody's done anything about the year 2000.
That's
but
true.
But Chem Abstracts and Fred Tate were working at a time when large-scale information processing systems were still being developed. So there wasn't a lot of off-the-shelf pieces that could be put together.
Mm-hmm.
And equipment was developing so fast that if you wrote something for this machine, it would have to be rewritten, you know, a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
And programming is a very slow process, especially unique programming, you know. If you are running a bank and you can buy a package from a consultant or a firm that's going to sell you their equipment and this package, and all you have to do is fine-tune it or tailor it to particular problems or the personality of your bank, that's a lot easier job than starting out
writing the code.
Oh, yes, because the Bureau of Standards was fooling with new computers, you know, and doing systems development and standards development, and you know, it just seemed as though people were working for years on trying to get a job done, you know?
What happened to that Bureau of the Standards computer? Now, all this happened before you came with them.
Yes. SEAC, the Standards Eastern Automatic Computer, and SWAC, the Standards Western Automatic Computer, were overtaken by IBM and Digital Equipment and UNIVAC. You know, they were used in the Bureau, but they were just strictly handmade at the Bureau for the Bureau, and eventually it became too expensive to try and keep them running. It was less expensive, it was certainly more efficient to buy a mainframe for the Bureau's work. When I got there in 64, they were fooling around with something called Pilot, which was again a hand-built computer. And there was a feeling that this was a nice exercise, but not very reasonable, you know, hand-fashion a computer for experimental work when you could get a computer, and if you bought computers in those days and the equipment was upgraded, you know, the company would come in and help you upgrade.
So now, before we leave NSF, I want to talk to you about one more thing. In the recent trends in NSF, we've gone from almost a total neglect of the kind of work that you were doing to another kind of, I'd call it computer science. That is, the old information science program has become a computer science program. Were those kinds of motions going on while you were still there?
No.
Not changes? Was it, there wasn't another group working on information retrieval?
Not that I knew of.
Uh-huh.
Not that I knew of. And I would think that what happened was the need for a separate program and a program of support for science information was overtaken by the work of people all over the country using the new, you know, the much, much better equipment available.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one example, you can still get some information and retrieval work funded through NSF, but mostly what they're funding is artificial intelligence and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't know if those trends had started when you were there.
No, like the supercomputing centers and all.
Right,
they, you
know, right, uh-huh.
They had the computer directorate, or whatever it's called now, I don't remember it being in existence when they were there. Yeah.
Well, it's a fairly different direction.
Yes.
That's gone. Let me ask you about one more question about NSF.
Yeah.
And maybe this is true of also later on. We've talked a little bit about you were a woman in a man's world. Were you, did you feel discriminated against? And let me add to this. What Mrs. Schultz said was, she said, Madeline did all the work and Perry and Kent got all the credit.
Yeah. Well, that I told you that when we were at Battelle, I complained to them that they spent all their time selling us,
mm-hmm.
and buy, you know, and getting contracts, getting support, and then I had to do the work to make the systems operational, to convert the promise into the promises into fact. I certainly did a lot of the work. Perry, you know, a lot of, like, collecting all those lists of terms and words and then merging them and getting them into shape so that we could begin to actually do the semantic factoring, and then getting those results into machine form so we could print them out and look at what we were doing, and you know, that iterative process. And I certainly made the system at Aberdeen work. Perry was very good at ideas and at expressing them. Well, I used to complain that he tried so hard to make sure that what he said was exactly what he meant, that he got pretty repetitive and repetitious and turgid in his writings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I think of as just an operator. Alan, we all contributed ideas to the process of developing semantic factoring and telegraphic abstracts, but the initial kernel was Perry's, I think. He was the idea man. And
were you listened to when you had ideas?
I was listened to, yes. It was a good give and take. We'd, you know, sit around and, but Alan, I can't remember doing a lot of the real work,
mm-hmm.
you know, the real,
mm-hmm.
get your hands dirty and get down there and do it. He would manage the team or something like that.
Was Perry good at giving you opportunities, making sure that your name was on the publications?
Yes.
You never
the first example that I had was that...
Uh-huh.
I tell you, it was the paper at the ACS, which we wrote together, but I presented,
mm-hmm.
and we published with my name first. So he was, I thought he was good that way. The one time that I was upset about not getting proper credit was an article about the, I think, the telegraphic abstracts at Aberdeen that was in American documentation as Perry and Kent. And yet, halfway through was a sample page of instructions for the engineers which said, call Miss Madeline Berry, you know. And I was down there doing the work, and that annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, I probably would blame Alan rather than Perry.
Hmm. What about within NSF politics and such? Now, of course, you were there only part-time.
Yes.
So maybe you escaped some of that.
I escaped some of that. I got on very well with Alberto while he was there, mm-hmm. with Dwight Gray, who was a... I think he's probably gone now, but a gentleman and a scholar. With Helen Brownson, she supported me, I supported her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that much to do with Bert Atkinson, although I never really liked him that much. I didn't take to him as much, but he gave me a copy of his book, To Madeline, for your very helpful suggestions when reviewing a draft of this manuscript, you know. I don't, September 1978. That's something that I get called on to do fairly regularly. I just had a copy of a manuscript from Charlie Bourne, who's writing a book with Trudy,
right,
Bilardo,
right.
Hahn, yeah. And the chapter that's pre-online searching. And he said, would you look it over? And I did, and found several questions and several errors and several...
Hmm.
And I suggested that he get in touch with some people, and I got a very nice letter from him saying, thanks a lot, and if I have more questions, I'll call you back, and I've already gotten in touch with some of the people. One of whom, by the way, is Dake Gull.
Mm-hmm. I've talked with him.
I was going to say, do you you include him in your... Because
mm-hmm.
he's a pioneer.
Yeah, we've talked on the phone a couple
very
of times.
Very nice person.
Yeah.
A very nice man.
I would
man.
Really like to be able to interview him, but
yeah.
I'm afraid we're running out of time.
Oh,
and money.
Yeah.
But he's done a number of history
yeah.
kinds of things
yes.
also.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He and I reviewed Colin Burke's book on the Vannevar Bush cryptology.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he was, it was a good exercise. I hadn't worked with him for a long time, and I found him still very pleasant and very...
Well, now you seem to have been a busy editing. This is something you've done throughout your career, taking these things.
Yes,
and
yes.
Did you
and
consider
whipping
that?
Them into
yeah.
whipping them in. For example, I did a report for the National Bureau of Standards called Evaluation of Information Systems.
Right.
A
right.
informative. I wrote all those informative abstracts and sent them back to the author saying, is this an accurate reflection of your work? And which means, of course, that I read everything and tried to understand it. One man wrote back and said, you did a better job than I did on the original article.
Well, looking at your bibliography, there just seems to me hundreds of them that you've done the editorial work.
Yes, yes.
That
was my first job for Perry.
Right,
read
yeah.
this thing through.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing that kind of work, I have to understand what I'm reading. And if it doesn't come through easily to me, then I question, what is it you're trying to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
mm-hmm.
I read it as somebody knowledgeable but not necessarily into the very thick of something.
Yeah.
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 Yes, and I've done book reviews, and I've done, yes, I have many more functions as editor than I have of
right.
author,
right.
yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Well, back to this woman in the men's world, have there been really obvious times of discrimination?
And I didn't experience them, except maybe in the chemical, in the chemistry lab, you know, in bench work, I was the supporting player. Mm-hmm. You know, the analytical lab at DuPont and the support of graduate students at MIT.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt put down by men, and as a matter of fact, I have often said that women did better in the computer area and the information processing area than in a lot of other more traditional areas like bench chemistry, because it was so new that they could go in from the they get in on the ground floor and grew with the field rather than trying to
what about in terms of pay and promotion, particularly at NBS when
yeah.
you came back and worked there?
I got to be a GS-15 at NBS, and there's, I think I've read somewhere, 1% of the women in the government workforce ever get to be a GS-15. I got more discrimination there because I was seen as a threat or a rival. I got to be a section chief, and the division chief was going to be leaving, and all of a sudden I would be on a par with some of these bright young men, you know, who would come up born with computers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was this older woman that was going to be suddenly on the same level with them. I got a little bit, now Ruth Davis was my last boss. One of my last bosses at the Bureau of Standards, and when she left to go to AEC, and her deputy stayed as the acting director of the institute, he was much more comfortable with the young men. And they were young. They were, you know, 30s maybe, where I was 50. And I can remember one time I said, it serves them right. I asked for support to go to an American Chemical Society meeting in Hawaii because I was a chairman of an American Chemical Society committee on copyrights, which is of importance to everybody, including mm-hmm. the information area. And I had to fight with them, the boss and the program director, to agree to send me on official time. I got support for airfare from the American Chemical Society, but finally the Bureau agreed that I could go on official travel and they paid per diem. And I came back and I found that a young man who had just joined the Institute from the operations research group at the Bureau had requested to go to Hawaii for a meeting of the Operations Research Society. They sent him lock, stock, and barrel. And while he was over there, he sprained his ankle and came back and claimed workers' compensation. And the place was in an uproar, you know. And I thought, what goes around comes around.
Well,
but that was as close as I came. I have said that toward the end of my career there, especially after Ruth Davis left, she was something of my mentor, that there were times that I felt that I was being discriminated against because I was a woman and probably an older woman.
In terms of promotion?
Yes. For example, I requested of my immediate supervisor who left then, the division chief who left to join Ruth Davis, that if he thought my work was that good, put me in for an in-grade pay raise. You know, you can get an in-grade increase on the basis of merit, not just time mm-hmm. in-grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he submitted it, and the acting director said, well, we'll wait till next year or something like that, you know. But I knew that a young man who wanted a certain job got an in-grade to compensate, you know, so that there were funny things going on. I was a section chief, and I asked particularly that nothing be done to destroy the section until we could work together, the other divisions in the section, to to make most efficient and effective use of the people in the section. And I went to a staff meeting, and they said the section's abolished as of today, and people are going to go here and there, you know. And that was not a nice way to behave.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the feeling that even if I had been a man, if having gotten up that high in the hierarchy, I was a threat, a rival, and the going gets pretty tough, you know. And if I didn't have the stomach for that sort of infighting, then I was the one who would feel the effects. And
mm-hmm.
and it's not so much male-female discrimination or age-youth discrimination as it is power plays, I thought,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Could some of it have been based on that you weren't really a computer nerd, so to speak?
I'm sure that they figured that I wasn't a computer nerd. Yeah, I'm not. I don't have a. I took some courses at Maryland and decided I don't really want to know how to build a computer. I want to use the computers, but I don't want to either build them or repair them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were down to the nitty gritties of gates and stuff like that. So,
Now talk a little bit why you went to Maryland. I noticed you took some courses there in computer science.
Yes.
And you also did your MPA.
That was at the American University.
At American University,
yes.
Right. Okay.
The computer science was because I knew I was pretty sure that I didn't want to take the conventional courses in library science.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought computer science, but a couple of courses there were so much directed at the mechanics of the computer rather than the utility of the computer that I thought this is not for me. The American University initiated a program called the Key Executive Program, and in their School of Public Administration, aimed at senior level government workers what we did was work all day Friday and all day Saturday every other weekend. And in 2 years' time, we got a master's in public administration. Our agencies had to do without us only 2 days a month. We would work daytimes when we'd be more alert, none of this, you know, 5 or 6 years of evening courses. And I went into Ruth Davis and I showed her the announcement and said, I'd like to get into this. And she said, okay, you want the time? And I said, I want the money too. And she said, well, let me think about it. And she did.
Money meaning for tuition?
The tuition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She had already nominated me, and I had completed a year as a ComSci fellow.
Oh, right. Forgot
commerce,
to ask
science,
about that.
Yeah, yeah, Commerce, Science, and Technology mm-hmm. Fellowship. And that was an effort to get people out of the laboratory and into the realm of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I had been at the Bureau of Standards 8 years, I think, then. This was the 71, 72. And I thought the Bureau of Standards was the whole schlemiel in the Department of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down to an assignment in the Department of Commerce and discovered the Bureau was this little appendage out there in Gaithersburg, you know, so it was an eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for the National Business Council for Consumer Affairs, which was an effort to get businessmen together without fear of antitrust, so they could talk about things like guarantees and what do you call them when you buy an automobile and you get a warranties and guarantees
uh-huh.
and different programs that they could undertake under the aegis of this council, and so we met people from Sears and from Mattel Toys and it was very interesting assignment. And we went on field trips, went up onto Capitol Hill, and I can remember we met Gerald Ford before he got to be a vice president and then a president, you know, and the Library of Congress and all of the different departments had briefings for us. We went out to the West Coast, went to Napa Valley and said, we're here to see about the chemistry of winemaking.
You're really into the Department of Commerce thing then,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And we went down to New Orleans and went out on a sulfur drilling rig on the Freeport Sulfur in the Gulf of Mexico. And they gave us a souvenir, paperweight molded from elemental sulfur.
Yeah. Huh.
And went down into a salt mine near the Tabasco people, so that we toured Tabasco while we were there, you know. It was half fun and half very educational.
Huh. Mm. Let's back up a little bit to Okinawa. Now, how did this happen? He was stationed in Okinawa?
He was stationed in Okinawa, and the children and I went over and joined him.
How many kids are there? This is 62 to 64. This
I went over with 2 5/8 and
okay.
Had another little girl. I had a girl in July of 61 and another one in August of 63. And then we came back in September of 63. Drove across country.
Well, Mrs. Schultz said that one of your goals was to have as many children as she had and keep working full time or two or three jobs as she had.
Yeah. She's a dear person.
She's
a very
really,
nice person.
Really likable.
Yes.
All right, so now we've been in and out of the National Bureau of Standards, but we'll get you there officially. This looked like, to me, a big switch from what you had been doing. But as you explain it, it sounds like it's not really a switch out of documentation.
No, but I started out working with Mary Elizabeth Stevens on that cooperation, the three C's. And then I did some more reports that involved reviewing the literature. And in the meantime...
Still all in the documentation area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the computer information section, I was working with Mary... Mary Elizabeth wanted me to come on board to help with that one report. And the Bureau of Standards